Hi there, and welcome to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Pastor Joe Jackowitz is the president of First Love Ministries and pastor of Christ Bible Church in Pleasanton, California. With him are Rich Hormerez and Bobby Hamlin, meeting up for conversation of eternal importance. Join us, won't you, for Bible Talk.
Well, we'd like to welcome you to our gathering here as we meet together for Bible Talk. And it's so nice having all of you join us. Hi, this is Rich Hormerez.
And I'm Bobby Hamlin. Now, each of our programs does stand alone, so you don't have to worry if you haven't heard all of our programs or every part of a series. But if you've missed any segment and would like to hear more, or if you'd like to listen again or invite someone else to listen, you just go to firstloveradio.org and you scroll down to the Bible Talk picture, tap on it, and it'll take you to all of our programs. Once again, that's firstloveradio.org. Now, since this is Bible Talk with Pastor Joe, because we want to have the benefit of discussing things with someone who has the perspective of a pastor and knows the Bible inside and out, Pastor Joe is here. Hi, Pastor Joe.
Hi, Bobby. Hi, Rich. It's such a blessing to fellowship with you and the brethren again. And we're thankful that the Lord Jesus knows our needs, and he is the one who provides for all of them according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Now today we're continuing to look at the topic, how to survive in evil times from a biblical perspective. Pastor Joe, I wanted to just ask you, the end times and the Lord's return, some people get really caught up on wanting to know or to put dates on when the Lord's going to return, kind of end time eyes only. But our Lord in Acts 1:7 said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." And then in verse 8 of Acts 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And then he commissions his disciples to go into all the world with the gospel. So when you look at end times and you look at the Lord's return, yes, we need to be aware of it, but yet not lose sight of the mission to go forth as witnesses for Christ. Can you speak to that?
Yes, when Jesus said that, it was an answer to the question that was asked of him, of the disciples. Will you come again and restore the kingdom? And Jesus was saying, look, it's not for you to know the specific times and specific seasons. I think that word specific is the key word to understanding what the Lord meant. Your job, he is saying, is to go out and to preach the gospel to every creature, to go out and make disciples of all the nations. Your job is not to know the intimate details like the day, the hour, the specific details of a very precise plan of when the Lord would come. Later on, after the book of Acts was written, which is one of the five historical books of the New Testament, including the four Gospels plus Acts, makes the five books of history in the New Testament where we understand the specifics about Christ's life, his death, resurrection, his ministry, and the history of the beginning of the church, the first century church. But then later on in the second half of the first century and the beginning of the second century, the rest of the epistles were written, 22 general and Pauline epistles in the New Testament, and much is written in those epistles, like in 2 Thessalonians and 2 and 1 Peter, in the book of Revelation, and in a few passages in others of Paul's epistles that expand on the future and what's going to take place in the future. And in those passages, we get many more details about the second coming. We're told that we're not going to be ignorant of the signs, not the times of the Lord's coming, the exact moment, the hour, the day, or the specific, say, a year or month, the seasons. No, he's talking about the signs of the times, the general increase of political history and events, the general increase of judgment poured out from heaven in the form of pestilences, diseases, conflict, wars, the increase in hatred and moral degeneracy, immorality. Those things will increase in intensity over a generation, that anyone living in a particular year won't be able to tell that. But over a generation, a 40, 50 year period, yeah, you'll be able to see that not only in light of the previous generation, but you'll be able to see the increase of the evil, how it is head and shoulders above any other previous generation except the generation that was alive when the flood was poured out on the earth. So our job now as Christians, in light of the fact that we see the increase in the signs of the times, and we're very aware of it, is to do exactly what the Lord told us to do. For example, in Luke 21:34, the Lord Jesus tells the believers who are alive in that end times generation, the ones that are witnessing all of the increase of these signs of the times, he says, look, in verse 34 of Luke 21, but take heed to yourselves, take heed, be warned, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. The word day here has a capital D. It refers to the day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ. Continuing, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What the Lord is saying is that your job as a believer in the end times is not to worry about when it exactly will it happen. Your job is to not get caught up with the cares of this life and the practice of sin and evil like drunkenness, carousing, sexual immorality, so that Jesus comes as a thief in the night for you, so that the day of the Lord comes on you unexpectedly. Because the day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, will come as a snare, as a pitfall, as a shock to everyone dwelling on the face of the whole earth. And this is another indication of the distinctiveness of the second coming, that is the end times generation, compared with all other generations. That is, on the one hand, believers will be aware of the signs of the times, and true Christians will take actions and measures accordingly to prepare themselves by living holy lives so that they are not ashamed before the Lord at his coming. But on the other hand, unbelievers won't care about all these things going on in a way that will prepare them for the second coming by embracing the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, by putting their trust in him and laying their lives at his feet and giving them their lives. And believers not only are to share the gospel and to use this very unique time period in the history of the world to take advantage of people's interest and fears and concerns by sharing the gospel with them, but believers are to be watching for the second coming, reflecting that watchfulness in their lifestyle, in their relationship with the Lord by living holy lives, reading the Bible, praying, fellowshipping, running as far away from the evil as they can, staying away from the line, crossing over from godly living into worldliness as much as they can by God's grace, and praying, also praying always, we read, that we would be counted worthy to escape all these things. In other words, we're to always be in prayer that God would keep us away from the evil, that we would be worthy to escape it, and to live as far away from the wickedness lifestyles that the world is engaged in and false counterfeit Christians are engaged in. And it says we're to pray to be able to stand before the Son of Man. In other words, we're to pray that we would not defile or pollute the garments of Christ's righteousness that we have been given by the Lord in justification, in propitiation, and in reconciliation. I'm not suggesting by that we can lose our salvation. We cannot. But prayer to be kept from the pollutions of the world that would cause us to be concerned that we are truly saved is very important. And so self-examination is part of that process, but those who are truly saved cannot, they will not in the end lose their salvation. But God says that prayer to be kept pure in heart and in conscience and in lifestyle is very important.
Yes, and it's always important as we live our lives and try to live them as close to the Lord as we possibly can. Now, speaking of that and surviving these times, let's get into that, the survival part of this, surviving evil times. Let's start with unbelievers. With all the deception that our society and the world is going through, is there still hope for the lost?
Oh, absolutely. As long as a person still has breath in them, regardless of the generation they're living in, whether that generation is greater in wickedness and immorality or lesser, as long as the earth is still in existence and we're still alive, the people who are alive at any given moment until the second coming of Christ, right up until that moment where the Lord descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and he calls believers up to be with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he begins judgment day by raising everyone from the dead who's ever lived, and the ones who are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord. Both the believers and the wicked will go to hell. They will be consigned to hell, waiting their turn in judgment. Until that time period, as long as a person is still alive and breathing, coherent, where he or she can understand the gospel, there is hope. Regardless of how much external wickedness there may be going on in the world, there is hope. And so for the person listening who may be thinking, oh my goodness, what is going to happen to me? I have been concerned about the growing signs and wickedness in the world. I know something's on the horizon, something's coming of a major catastrophic proportion, and I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be judged with the wicked. I want to be a Christian. I want to be saved. Well, the very fact that you're thinking those things and you're concerned about the signs of the times and the coming judgment and the second coming of Christ is an indication that God is working in your heart. The fear of the Lord is to run from evil. And the Bible says that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so if you are convicted of your sin, if you don't want to be swept up with the judgment of the wicked, if you are in a place where you don't care anymore about worldly things and you're not interested in living for this life and this world, but that you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, as the Bible says, unless we repent, we shall all likewise perish. Repentance is very important. And to be saved, to go to heaven, to have your sins forgiven, God says you must repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
As you're saying that is all important, repentance, can you say a little definition of what that means?
Yes, repentance is a change of mind, heart, and will about your situation, about who you are, what your priorities are, and your lifestyle. What that means is that you're going in one direction. You're walking down this road of life in one direction. You're living for yourself. You're doing what you want to do. You are breaking God's law regardless of the consequences, even though your conscience convicts you. And you're living for this life, for fun, you're enjoying wickedness. And suddenly you're convicted about that. You feel it's wrong. You're awakened to the implications about your sinful lifestyle of being a slave of sin. And you're concerned about that. And you don't want to do those things anymore. You've been weighed down with guilt long enough. You've been carrying this ball and chain around long enough called sin. As a servant of sin, you're tired of saying yes every time sin says, do you want to do this or do that? And you want to make a change. You have now a changed mind and a changed heart about your lifestyle of rebellion and sin against God and his law, his commandments. And so you completely turn around 180 degree turn on that road towards hell, on that road of sin, and you're going back in the other direction. You no longer want to live your life for self and for sin. You're asking questions like, why am I in this world? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What's the meaning of life? And you're understanding now that it's not to live for self and sin, but to live for God. And you turn around on that road, you condemn yourself, you loathe your sin, you confess your sins to God, you repent of your sins, you tell the Lord, I don't want to do that anymore, I hate those sins, I have a changed will, a changed heart about those sins. And that, but that's not salvation. Salvation is not only repenting of sin, but salvation comes when you turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, as it were. You put your trust in him. You believe that only he can pluck you as a brand from the burning, as a charcoal from hell. Only he can save you, not your good works, not your good deeds, not anything that you admire about yourself. You see yourself as unworthy, as deserving of hell, as wicked. And there's nothing in you that would draw God to look upon you and save you in and of yourself. You have no merit or nothing to offer God. You've broken his law, but you turn to Christ and you believe in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, that he ascended to heaven, that he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he is listening to any sinner who says, God, be merciful to me. As the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Lord Jesus said, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verses 9 through 13, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if you're listening and you want to be saved and you don't want to be judged at Christ's second coming, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right now to save your never dying soul.
You're listening to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe. Now, perhaps you have a question you would like to ask. You can do just that by simply emailing us at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. You can also send in your request to First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Or simply go to the Contact Us section on our webpage and ask your question there. And be sure when you contact us to indicate that it's for the program Bible Talk. We'll repeat this contact information at the end of our program. For now, let's rejoin Rich, Bobby, and their talk with Pastor Joe.
As you talk about this changed life, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they be born again and their eyes are open. It's a joyous time as the Lord inclines one's heart and they are saved as the Lord draws them.
Yes, that's so important. That's so important because not to think that in order to survive evil times, it's about doing good and earning a favorable position with God, but it is facing your relationship and repairing your relationship with him, which is through Jesus Christ.
Yes, that relationship is very important. While on the one hand, Jesus promises to preserve you, to keep you, he puts a wall of protection around you. He surrounds you with his preserving grace so that you can endure to the end as he commands you. At the same time, he tells us that we must do everything within our ability, humanly speaking, to do our part. We call this human responsibility. Now, it's not anything that we do that is meritorious or effective, But even what we do, God uses it, he blesses it, and he works through it to help us to endure so that we can never take credit at all for anything that we do. And God works through those things he commands us to do, such as the use of the means of grace. The means of grace is simply a term to describe reading the Bible, prayer, fellowship with Christians, attending worship services, hearing the preaching of God's word. These are the means of grace. But even though we do them, it's God blessing them as we obey, as we read the Bible, that is the grounds of our growth and our obedience. And so it is always God. And God says that we are to endure to the end. So this teaches that every true believer will endure to the end of his or her life without leaving the Christian faith or renouncing the faith or apostatizing from the faith. The genuine Christian will remain in the faith until his or her last breath. That's very comforting. But it's not enough to endure for a year or a decade or a century and then fall away from the faith. No, the true Christian is described as an overcomer. He or she will overcome everything that opposes them and seeks our demise. And so it's wonderful that we will overcome. But at the same time, the Lord tells us, as I suggested, that we have to do certain things. Like, for example, holding on to life. In Revelation chapter 3, the church of Sardis is rebuked and corrected. And he tells them that he knows their works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. He's saying, look, believers, you're barely hanging in there. You have a little bit of life, a little bit of spiritual strength, but you have to revive and rejuvenate that spiritual strength that you have by being faithful to God, and God will work through those things, your Bible reading, your prayer, to infuse fresh grace and fresh strength. So the life that we have, the spiritual life that we have, even though we're weak all the time, it feels like, we need to hold on to that life. We need to read and pray until we sense that the Word of God and a hunger for it is growing in us, and God is using that Word to nourish our souls and expand the grounds of strength that we have. We need to make sure we do the same thing with the love of God in us, which tends to diminish. The love of God in us tends to grow cold. And in the end times, that will be one of those signs where it says the love of many will grow cold, as well as faith. Jesus said, when I come again, will there really be faith on the earth? And so the two most important fruits of the Spirit, love and faith, will grow weak, even in believers in the end times. And we have to do everything we can, not only to hold on to the level of love and faith we have, but to increase it. And the Bible says that using the means of grace will do just that. As we read in Romans 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you hear the Word of God taught and preached, the more you read it and meditate on it and hide it in your heart, the less you will sin, and the more you will love God, the more you will trust in the Lord. And the same thing is true with prayer and all the other means of grace. We need to hold on to life, hold on to love, and hold on to the truth of God's word.
You know, along this same line, when you're talking about God's people during the end times, because in Matthew 24, verse 22, it says, unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, can you go on and elaborate about the believers and their survival during the end times?
Well, when you read the book of Revelation and a few other places in the Old Testament, such as the book of Daniel, especially chapter 7 and onward, there is such a horrific and fearful description of increasing tribulation that will be poured out upon the earth in general, where it describes the earth groaning and travailing. The earth will be heaving to and fro. Earth will be shaken at its foundations. That is the physical judgment that will be poured out upon the earth in the form of earthquakes and floods and tsunamis and fire coming down from heaven, where large portions of animals and fish and birds and people will be destroyed. Forest fires on a level we've never seen. Just natural disasters growing on a level where we've never seen it before. People are going to suffer enormously as we get closer to the end of the world, including believers who will be swept up in this. And God in his great mercy will shorten the period of time that the earth and all these tribulations we will see in the nations and in physical torment and in medical issues, pestilences and diseases that have no cure. We're already hearing about the COVID-19 virus that is mutating into three or four other forms right now. It's only been a year since we've really seen it. And now, just when we get this vaccination and the cure, we're thinking, oh, we're, you know, man again has found a solution to his to these ills. But look at what God is doing. He's mutating things. He's saying, no, God is in control. He's sovereign. And he will make sure that righteousness is done in the world and no one can thwart his will or purpose and say to him, what are you doing? But the Lord says for the elect's sake, so that true believers will not get to a point in that end times generation where they become so exasperated and full of despair and weary that their bodies, their emotions, their spirits can't take it anymore. They go from one nervous breakdown to another. After all, we're only people, and this treasure is in earthen vessels. God, for the elect's sake, for the sake of his people, will shorten these times of great tribulation because he knows how much we can take because of his love for his people.
Interesting conversation around provoking questions and answers to help us search the scriptures and grow in our walk with Christ here on Bible Talk with Pastor Joe Jackowitz. Now, we all need to be grounded in the faith in order to have a firm foundation. Knowing what we believe and why we believe it enables us to share God's truth with those who need Jesus. Author Robert Jones has put together a book entitled Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. We're offering it free for the asking. This book will point you to God's Word through a collection of topics with questions and answers to reflect on. It can help you to both establish answers to any spiritual issues for yourself and to share your faith with others. You can read it straight through or in parts as a reference guide to help seek the answers to questions that arise in your search through the Scriptures. To request your copy of the book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul, absolutely free without any obligations, and that includes shipping, simply request it by email at firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org, or by going to our website at firstloveradio.org and click on the Contact Us button at the top of the page. And then for those of you who feel more comfortable writing to request your copy, our mailing address is First Love Radio, P.O. Box 2190, Dublin, California. The zip code is 94568. Also, if you would like to ask questions of Pastor Joe or share your comments, again, our email address is firstloveradio@firstloveradio.org, or simply go to our Contact Us section on our website at firstloveradio.org to ask your question, leave a comment, or to order your free book, Questions and Answers for the Seeking Soul. Again, we're delighted to have you join us today. We encourage you to come back again next time and invite a friend to listen to Bible Talk with Pastor Joe.